Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. It's easy for us to forget just how great the mystery of which Paul writes in our epistle lesson really is. The mystery that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. It's easy for us to forget that this is a mystery because for many people today, both outside and inside the church, Christianity seems to be a white man's religion. At least it seems that its background is largely European, and it seems in many ways inseparably bound with our American heritage and values. Even when we Lutherans think about the Reformation, we tend to think of Germany, its culture, its language. But though these connections may or may not be true, at least in varying degrees, to identify Christianity with Europe or anything other than the Jews would have been absolutely inconceivable to those first Christians before, during, and after Jesus' ascension into heaven. And for good reason. After all, he was promised as the offspring of Abraham. He was foretold to be the prophet like Moses. He was said to be the son of David. Prophets throughout the centuries spoke of him. Prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, Malachi, even the patriarch Jacob. And they all spoke Hebrew and spoke to Israel and Judah. And then in the fullness of time, Christ was born of Mary, a Jewish woman, in Bethlehem, the hometown of the greatest Israelite king, in Judea, that is a Jewish region. Jesus was born king of the Jews, the ruler who would shepherd God's people, Israel. And so why would any non-Jew think that this Messiah, Jesus, was born for him? Why did the Gentile wise men from the East come to him and fall down and worship him, who is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, incarnate? Didn't they have their own Eastern deities to worship? Didn't they have their own rulers to reverence? Hadn't they already proven their superiority to the Jews centuries earlier when their ancestors captured Jerusalem and carried her inhabitants into exile? Why would these Gentiles worship a Jewish king? But they did. They saw the Messiah's star when it rose in the east, and they went to Jerusalem to worship him. They followed that very same star until it came to rest over the place where the child was in Bethlehem. They fell down and they worshiped this child who is the Christ, and they offered him gifts, treasures, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They worshiped him as their Lord and God. And he who is the Lord and God did not reject them. For Jesus, born King of the Jews, is the Savior of all nations. For it was not only the Jews who needed a Savior, but all people, Jew and Gentile alike. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so Christ, the Son of God, came not to save his people, Israel, from Roman oppression or captivity to any number of nations that had enslaved them. He did not come to restore a Jewish kingdom centered in Jerusalem. Rather, he came to save the world from sin, from death, and from hell. To rescue them from transgressions that originated not with David or with Moses or with Jacob or with Abraham, but a transgression that began with Adam, the father of all. He sinned, and so all sinned. And so death spread to all. Sin is not a Jewish problem, it is a human problem. Death is not just for those who transgress the law of Moses, it is for those who transgress the law of God. And for all who transgress God's law, Jew and Gentile alike, death is the wages. And the idols of the nations cannot save, whether they are Eastern or Roman or, yes, even American. But there is salvation in the name of Jesus Christ for everyone who believes in him. Whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, all who believe and are baptized have put on Christ, and therefore are heirs according to God's own promise. For God so loved the world, not just one people, not just one race, but the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son. And this Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation for everyone. And so if you should doubt whether or not God wills for you to be saved, that he desires you to be his child, if you question whether or not the death of Jesus Christ on the cross was for you too, just ask yourself, do I live in the world? Well, if so, then have no fear. Jesus Christ came for you. He died for you. Though it is clear in the Old Testament that Jesus would indeed be born King of the Jews, it is equally clear in the Old Testament that he would reign as King over all the nations. Thus, following the first sin in the Garden of Eden, it was promised that the offspring of Eve, who is the mother of all living, would bruise the serpent's head. So it was also foretold to Abraham that in his offspring all the nations of the earth would be blessed. As we heard today, the prophet Isaiah foretold of Israel that nations shall come to your light, the wealth of the nations shall come to you. Even Micah, in his prophecy that the ruler born in Bethlehem would shepherd Israel, also declares that this ruler shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This, Paul writes, inspired by the Holy Spirit, this is the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God, who created all things. This is the eternal purpose that God has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, that the Gentiles, whether they be from the East, or Greek, or Roman, German, American, South American, African, Asian, or any other nation on continent and place under heaven, that the Gentiles are now sons of God and heirs of the kingdom of heaven through faith, and faith alone in Jesus Christ alone, he who is crucified and risen for all. And this by God's grace and grace alone. And this grace is especially evident in our scripture lessons today. In our Old Testament lesson, then, Isaiah foretold that nations would come to the people of God, including a multitude of camels, young camels of Midian. Now, Midian was the son of Abraham by his concubine Keturah. And though Moses dwelt among the Midianites and even took a wife from them, they were a persistent thorn in Israel's side. You may remember that it was Midianite traders who took Joseph captive and sold him into slavery in Egypt. It was the Midianites, along with Moab, who hired Balaam to curse the Israelites as they journeyed to the Promised Land. It was the Midianites who tempted Israel to idolatry, to worship Baal, and then brought a plague among them. And perhaps most well known, it was the Midianites who oppressed the people of Israel for 7 years and laid waste to their land, consuming everything, until the Lord raised up a judge for them, Gideon, to deliver the people of God. So also our epistle lesson was written by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian church. And Ephesus at that time was a very religious city, particularly devoted to the worship of the goddess Artemis. The city was home to her temple, which was one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And there was great civic pride among the Ephesians when it came to this false goddess, Artemis. Her cult was also an important part of the economy in that city. And so, it's no wonder that Paul's preaching was vehemently opposed and protested by the people of that city, Demetrius and the other silversmiths and craftsmen. For 2 hours, the book of Acts tells us, for two whole hours, the people shouted, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." And finally, in our gospel lesson, we have the wise men themselves. You might know them by their Greek name, Magi. This is the word from which we derive the English word magician. And so that could mean that they were astrologers. They believed that the movements of the stars and planets in the heavens controlled human fate. They could have been sorcerers, perhaps of a type, practicing what our small catechism calls satanic arts. They possibly could have been members of the Persian priesthood who led the worship of false gods. Or they could have simply been philosophers and scholars who devoted their lives to the pursuit of human knowledge. Whatever the case may have been, at one time they had been pagans and unbelievers as well. But, again, as we heard Isaiah foretell it, the light came and the glory of the Lord rose, and nations came to the light and to the brightness of the rising. And so, as he foretold, the camels of Midian, which had formerly devoured all the crops of Israel, now would come to bring treasures and good news, the praises of the Lord. The Ephesians, who had once lived in darkness, even thick darkness, had become children of light, having awakened from sleep, having arisen from the dead, Christ having shone upon them. And those wise men, they were sent a star from God, which led them to Jerusalem to seek out the newborn King of the Jews. And there in Jerusalem, God showered yet more abundant grace upon those Gentiles. For there they heard his word, the word through which the Holy Spirit is given and works to create and strengthen faith. It was in such saving faith that they went to Bethlehem to seek out the King of the Jews, not the capital city of Jerusalem. And it was in such faith that they fell down before the Christ child and worshipped him, not as a foreign ruler, but as their own ruler, as their own king, as their own Lord and God. By faith, they worshipped him as God in the flesh. This faith was not their own doing, it was the gift of God, given by grace alone, through his holy word alone. But we must always remember that this grace alone is not only for the Gentiles, it was for the Jews as well. Going all the way back to the very beginning, in Deuteronomy, Moses declares to the Israelites, "The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession, out of all the peoples on the face of the earth. And it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you. For you were the fewest of all peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt." So Moses declares that the Jews were chosen by God, that they were saved by him, not because of anything in themselves, not because they were more numerous or stronger or better than any other people, but simply because God loved them and because he had chosen them. Because like the Gentiles, they were saved by God's grace and grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone who was yet to come. And this is how you are saved as well, by grace alone, through faith alone, in the Christ who has come. Just reflect for a moment on how you have ended up here this day, how you have come to this holy house to worship Jesus Christ and receive the gifts that he has for you this day. Perhaps it was because you were raised by godly parents who baptized you when you were yet an infant and ensured that you were faithful in church attendance and instruction throughout all your life. Or perhaps it was because you married a Lutheran, one who prayed for you and exhorted you and encouraged you, perhaps even rebuked you until you came and joined the church. Maybe it was a neighbor or a friend or co-worker who invited you to come and see, to join them for one Sunday worship. Or maybe you simply drove by the church or found us on Facebook or heard us on the radio and decided to come. Whatever the case may be, your salvation, even your very presence here today, has nothing to do with your works, your wealth, your wisdom. It has nothing to do whether you were born into a Christian family and believed from infancy, or you were an unbeliever, an idolater, an immoral. Rather, it is, as we heard on Christmas Day, that you were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, not even your own will, that is, but of God. By grace alone, you have been brought to this house to hear God's word. And just as he did in the wise men of old, the Holy Spirit worked faith in your heart through that word to believe all that the Lord has spoken. And by faith, you are brought back here week after week to worship Jesus, the Christ, and to receive the gifts that he has for you. By grace, you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And therefore, we confess, we rejoice with Paul and with the saints, Jew and Gentile alike throughout the ages, that the mystery of Christ is great indeed. And not just the Gentiles, our fellow heirs and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, but that any of us, poor, miserable sinners, would be declared righteous in the sight of God. And yet we are, by grace and grace alone. And therefore arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Continue to follow the example of the wise men, they who fell down before Jesus, their Lord, and worshipped him as their God. Likewise, come, kneel before him, and receive from his open hand the gifts he has for you are his heirs. Jesus Christ, he who was born King of the Jews, is your King, your Lord, and your God too. All this because he has loved you, and he has chosen you by grace and by grace alone. In the name of Jesus, please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.